Coming up on this episode of Disneyland Weekly, Disneyland heads back in time for the new year, lots of Disney Parks television,
a new must-have popcorn bucket for the holiday season, and more. Disneyland Weekly starts now.
This is Disneyland Weekly.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Disneyland Weekly, episode 7 for the week of November 15th, 2017. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Therese Urban. We would like to thank Laura for increasing her donation. I think the fact that at the $5 a month level, she gets access to the hilarious outtakes of the show once a month pushed her over the edge. If you would like to hear those outtakes, become a patron at the annual pass holder level by going to DisneylandWeekly.com/support.
Well, thank you for listening this week. If you enjoyed the show, please log on to iTunes and rate the show and leave a review. It really helps us to get more listeners so we can keep bringing you Disneyland news and information each week. I know that there's been a couple of you that have said you have tried to leave reviews and it hasn't shown up. I'm not sure what's going on with iTunes, but keep trying. Now let's get to the news.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. It's date night at Disneyland with the Elliott Brothers and the Disneyland Date Nighters. Let's dance.
Disneyland is taking a trip back to the past in January. Disney's new After Dark event series was announced this week and is bringing the 50s and the 60s back to the park January 18th from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. Tickets for this event go on sale for the annual pass holders on November 30th and for the general public on December 7th. Tickets are $95 per person and include unlimited photo pass downloads, specialty entertainment, themed foods, and some collectibles available for purchase.
If the $95 for a ticket to Disneyland After Dark is too much, you can get your fix coming to a television or device near you. On the Disney Channel, the Disney Parks presents a Disney Channel Holiday Celebration, try saying that five times fast, starts Friday, November 24th in the Disney Now app. If you have a TV subscription, you'll be the first to experience this show before it premieres on the actual Disney Channel on Friday, December 1st at 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
The show will include stars from The Descendants 2, Andy Mack, and the upcoming Disney Channel movie, Zombies. Boo Boo Stewart from The Descendants 2 will give viewers an exclusive view of Toy Story Land out in Orlando. On ABC, The Wonderful World of Disney Magical Holiday Celebration premieres on Thursday, November 30th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, both in the ABC app and on TV.
On Christmas morning, the Disney Parks Magical Christmas Celebration airs. Check your local listings for times and includes your favorite Disney characters and performances by Ciara, Darius Rucker, Fifth Harmony, Fitz and the Tantrums, Jason Derulo, Lea Michele, 98 Degrees, and more. Finally, on Freeform, Disney's Fairy Tale Weddings Holiday Magic premieres on December 11th at 8 p.m. Eastern. This goes behind the scenes of weddings and engagements that Disney puts on.
If all these specials weren't enough, there is an inside look at how the Disney parks and hotels are set up for the holidays with Decorating Disney's Holiday Magic premiering December 18th at 8 p.m. Eastern.
I'll tell you what, with all of these different shows, between the words magic and holiday, there's a lot of holiday magic going on with Disney. Just when you thought it was safe to go back to the popcorn carts at Disneyland because the Oogie Boogie popcorn bucket was done with, Disney released their new hit bucket, Holiday Pluto. The new premium bucket is just $15 and have been selling out just like the Oogie Boogie one last month. They're expecting to be in stock again throughout the season, but they do go fast.
Fast Pass has returned to It's a Small World holiday this year and has caused crazy standby lines. With the high capacity of this attraction, do you really think that Fast Pass is needed, or is it just an added headache? Let us know what you think.
On a more serious note this week, Disneyland has shut down two cooling towers in a backstage area behind New Orleans Square for high levels of the bacteria that causes Legionnaires' disease. 12 people in the Orange County area have been diagnosed with the disease since September. 10 have been hospitalized, 1 has passed away, and 8 of the 12 had visited Disneyland during that time. There's an ongoing investigation to see if there's a link between the cases and Disneyland specifically. The Orange County Healthcare Agency says there is no known ongoing risk.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. It's date night at Disneyland with the Elliott Brothers and the Disneyland Date Nighters. Let's dance!
Well, our discussion topic this week is kind of a free-for-all. We're going in totally blind because we couldn't think of anything that we specifically wanted to talk about this week, so I think we're just going to kind of talk about a lot of different things. First up, Teresa, what do you think about this Disneyland After Dark?
Well, I think it sounds like a great time. I wish that we were closer to the park so that we could go and enjoy it. Because unfortunately for us being so far away, it's not so easy to just kind of pop down to the park and have a fun night out. But it sounds like a great time. If I was in the area, I'd totally be there.
For me, I remember when I was younger, I would go to Disneyland and it was open till 1 a.m. like all the time. Mm-hmm. Like now it's only just to midnight on the high capacity days. But I remember it being open till 1 a.m. when I was there as a kid, and I loved it because I like Disneyland at night more than I like Disneyland at any other time. I just love it at night. So wintertime is great. First of all, this is happening in January, so already wintertime, which is wonderful because it's darker more. It's a little bit colder, but it's California, so it's not too bad. And staying till 1 a.m., that's awesome. I love it. Now, the thing that I have a problem with, tickets are $95.
And that's in addition to your, if you're going to be there during the daytime hours. So you'd have to buy two tickets.
Basically. So the good thing here is the official event is from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. But Disney has said that you can enter 2 hours prior to 8. So you can come in at 6 to 1. Mm-hmm. So you get 7 hours for $95. But you know, the regular park ticket, you know, let's just say it's like $110 or whatever it is for, you know, you get more than 12 hours for that. So I don't know.
But this year also getting the commemorative lanyard and you're getting the unlimited photo pass downloads. So you're getting extra stuff too for it. I would just honestly, I'd pay that much just because there'd be less people in the park overall. So there's going to be,
it's just going to
look more interesting because you're right. I'm the same way. I like it at night. I like how they light everything up, but it would be fun, more fun for me because you're seeing the park in a different way because it's, you know, during a party, they're going to have other stuff going on. But then also any of the rides that you decide to go on going to be way shorter lines, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's something I thought about, too, is like maybe you're kind of paying the premium so you don't have to wait in line, which I think is good. I mean, the park, when it's less packed, is always going to be good. Some of the stuff that's going to be awesome is they're bringing back, so they're going to have live bands, just like they used to with the Disneyland After Dark stuff back in the 60s and 70s, or 50s and 60s, sorry. And they're going to have Fantasy in the Sky fireworks just for this. So, I mean, I guess that adds to some of it because you're paying for some of the fireworks. So that's kind of cool. I don't know. Overall, I think it's cool. They did say it's part of a series, which means they're going to do more of these in the future, mm-hmm. which I think is awesome.
So when did they originally start doing these Disney After Dark events? Has this been going on for years and years, or is this something that they used to do way back when? Is it, you know, what's the story behind that? Do you know?
Yeah. So Disneyland After Dark, the only thing I really know about it is on some of the DVDs that I bought that talk about, you know, Disneyland, like they had some... Walt Disney Treasures DVDs, they had some stuff about Tomorrowland. They had the Disneyland story, and so they kind of had some episodes and stuff there. They had the full opening day ceremony and stuff. And they had that back in the 50s and 60s, and it was kind of like, it was one of those things where like kids, you know, they went to Disneyland, they'd pay their dollar or two, as it was at the time, mm-hmm. and they would have live bands at the Carnation Gardens, mm-hmm. and people would swing dance and do whatever, and it'd be like a date night for them. You know, so it went on for quite a while. I'm not sure exactly when it like ended, but I think it's cool that they're bringing it back, because I know they tried to bring some stuff back and they tried to kind of relive that kind of feel with the Tomorrowland Terrace stage. And I know during like the 80s, they had Videopolis, which was back in Fantasyland. That's with that whole arena back there. That's now where they have Mickey and the Magical Map. That was built for like teenagers to come and like rock out and like have a party. And so I think they've been trying to kind of bring something like this back with events that we've had recently. Like we had Dapper Day. I think it was Bats Day, by the way, when we were talking about it last time when I said all the Gothic people.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was Bats Day is what they call it. And so I think with these type of events, they realize that there's people that want to get together and all kind of have a similar thing. And people love Disneyland. And especially, I would say, the slightly older generation likes the kind of date night kind of idea. And I think maybe it can be a new generation thing for people. We'll see.
I think it makes sense because a lot of the people that go to Disneyland are the annual pass holders. So you have to have these events. You have to keep it interesting to like make them want to be pass holders every year and make them, you know, want to go to the parks, get things for them to be more excited and just, you know, besides just the fact that it's the park. So I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no, now they're, since they took away the Run Disney stuff, they've got a lot of extra downtime now that would have been, they would have had more people, you know, more people in the park because of these other events that they don't have anymore. So I feel like they've got to do something to kind of draw people back to the park, especially during the non-busy times.
Yeah. Well, you know, non-busy times keep getting more and more less.
No, because everybody finds out that it's not busy, so they think they're going to beat the lines. Well, and Disney and then keeps, it's busy again.
Well, and Disney keeps doing these things. So now, I mean, you start at the end of August, so you start the Halloween celebration, so everybody comes in that section, mm-hmm. and then you have all the Christmas stuff, so everybody comes in that section, and then you have, you know, the only time that doesn't really have something right off the bat that I can think of off the top of my head is that first couple months of the year. Then it's just thing after thing, and they, you know, they have new attractions opening, they have new parades and stuff that start those different times, they have all these different, they have the food and wine kind of festival thing that they have at California Adventure, stuff like that. So they really don't want to have any downtime, which, right. You know, I mean, I guess it makes them money.
Well, it makes sense, 'cause like I said, it gives you a reason to go to the park.
Right, but locals...
Something to look forward to.
I know a lot of locals probably look at this, though, and they go, you know, they'd like to have a downtime period. They'd like to be able to go and not have a giant crowd somewhere, but it kind of isn't that way. However, as a one Disney shareholder myself... I can't say that, like, it's a bad thing. I mean, it's a business. I mean, mm-hmm. I know it's bad when you're there and you're fighting with all these people, but they are a business. They have to make money. The other thing I wanted to talk about, I saw one of the people that I follow on Twitter, on YouTube, actually, is where I found this person originally. It's a set of brothers, and they have a YouTube channel. They go by Attractions 360 or SoCal 360 or Southern SoCal Attractions 360. And what they're for is they do like ride videos and stuff, and they do a lot of Disneyland stuff. And so this week they've been out in Hong Kong at Hong Kong Disneyland, and they tweeted that the new Iron Man ride was fun that they have there in Hong Kong. They said it's just like Star Tours. The ride vehicle looks just like Star Tours. And they suggested that they were pretty sure that they thought that this Iron Man attraction would come and replace Star Tours when Star Wars Land opened. What do you think about
this?
Which
is interesting, because wasn't it just a couple weeks ago how we were talking about how they're going to have a whole land dedicated to Star Wars, that it's kind of odd that Star Tours would still be kind of over by its lonesome in Tomorrowland. So this would be their answer for that. They could still, I mean, it wouldn't cost them very much to rebrand it. I mean, it's kind of like what they did with Tower of Terror to Guardians of the Galaxy. It's basically the same ride. They just rethemed it. So it'd be a really quick changeover.
Well, and I would even argue that Iron Man fits into Tomorrowland a lot better than Star Wars does.
Well, and come on, it's Tomorrowland. It needs to continue. I mean, the whole purpose of Tomorrowland is for it to always be changing and to always be...
Which is funny, because I don't think Tomorrowland has changed at all recently.
Not really, no. Nope.
And I know we've talked about that. Go back to episode one or two. I think we talked extensively about it.
Yeah, it was a while ago. But so I think that's good, because if that is the case, then that gives me a lot of hope for Tomorrowland and the stuff that's there, especially since we are going to have dedicated areas to Star Wars, and we're going to have Pixar Pier. So really, our Toy Story Astro Blasters and whatever that's over in Tomorrowland, the Toy Story theme thing, could be moving over to the Pixar themed areas. Mm-hmm. So I like it, because I mean, like we've said before, I like that they have different parts of different franchises, or different, I don't know, whatever,
intellectual properties.
Yeah, different things in each area and kind of sprinkled. But now that you're having dedicated areas, it doesn't make as much sense for me to have Star Wars in multiple places if you're going to have a dedicated area. I guess it's kind of like, no offense to anybody out there, but I'm getting a little sick of all of the Frozen things. And I hate to say it, I'm getting a little sick of how much stuff is going on now with Pirates of the Caribbean too. It seems like they get excited about the things that the public's excited about, and then it's just everywhere. And so
it makes money.
Exactly. And I don't like that. And I mean, I'm still upset about the Fantasmics change. I still think that Peter Pan made more sense than the Pirates of the Caribbean bit, but you know, whatever, that's just me. Same thing though, like I said with Frozen, it's just kind of all over the place. Granted, this isn't the same park, but when I was in Disney World last, it was every single park there had something dedicated to Frozen, which was just like, oh, look, another thing. I don't know. I don't know. I like the movie. I enjoyed the movie, but I like variety when I go to the parks. If I wanted to only see Frozen things or whatever, then I wouldn't be at a completely Disney theme. I don't know. That's just me.
Did you ever see Aladdin, a musical spectacular?
I did, and I loved it. And okay. I'm
how many
sad.
Times have you seen it?
More than well, once? Yes, more than once.
Every time you went to see it, packed, like sold out show?
Not really, but the last time I was there, it was very much off season. We didn't have lines okay. for rides or anything. So last time I was there, I don't think that's fair. But it was usually, yeah, no, pretty packed. The line Frozen, to wait outside was just crazy.
The Frozen musical is not experiencing that still.
Really?
Yeah. So they were packed when they first opened. There's some cool technological stuff that they did with it. I think
I still like the change and the costume change during Let It Go. That is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. If you YouTube the Let It Go costume change, like mishaps, there's some funny ones there where unfortunately the costume change does not quite go as planned.
You know, I'm kind of okay with that because I didn't quite understand how it happened in the beginning. So I was glad to see a mishap so that I could figure out exactly how they pulled off the magic.
The magic.
I know, but I don't know.
But I agree with you. I agree with you about the Frozen stuff. And so let's just talk about it because we've had this discussion topic on the table forever, and you kind of brought it up, so we might as well talk about it since we're talking about it. Teresa has been chomping at the bit to talk about Fantasmic,
which
the new
I know
Fantasmic.
It's old news, but I'm still just upset about it. And
so
I guess maybe I need to see it in person to really experience it. But
what are your impressions?
I want the old one back.
You don't think anything is redeemable?
No, I think there's redeemable things. But I just, what I like so much about the old one was that it paid homage or whatever to a lot of the classics. Whereas I feel like a lot of what Disney is doing is kind of leaving some of the classics behind and going towards what's new, what's out now. So
they've milked the classics and now they want to milk
know,
the new thing.
Exactly. But I think you can do both of them tastefully.
I agree.
I do miss Flotsam and Jetsam, or however you say their names.
That was
the
forever
eels.
Ago.
I really liked them.
Well, I think they were only around
clever.
For like a summer.
I thought it was a neat thing and it was easy.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't very easy for them to do.
Well,
but
it's two extra performers.
Mm-hmm. But I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
And I did really like the crocodile that was chasing after Captain
Hook. Yeah, they
got
rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I just feel that the Peter Pan scene just kind of flowed and made more sense. Now, watching the Pirates one, I feel like switched out the names. It feels like the same thing, and it doesn't make sense because that's not true to the movies at all.
Right.
So
if you watch a video of Fantasmic with Peter Pan, and you watch the choreography and where everybody is, and you watch the new Fantasmic and the choreography and where everybody is, it's literally the same choreography.
Yeah, I just... Mm.
So I feel like if they were going to make that change, they needed to make that change. And I feel like they just kind of half made that change.
Yeah.
The other thing that got me is... Well, one thing they didn't get rid of, which I am very happy they didn't get rid of, which is the cannon blast when the pirate ship shows up. Because I always thought that was awesome. So they didn't get rid of that, which is great. They also, one thing they did get rid of that I am very upset about was when the snake comes out and they have like the drum music in the original one. And during like, you know, when not Rafiki, when King Louie comes out and everything and he's jumping around and stuff, like they had a really good like tribal, you know, beat, and I just loved it, and now it's very tame and the snake's like bright eyes aren't blinding everybody.
Yeah.
I loved that. Like,
see, I wasn't really ever too big of a fan of the snake. It looked too, I don't know, it didn't look very
I didn't like
good
the snake.
When you had the snake and then you had freaking the dragon come out, there was just like the quality of the snake does not look so good when you've got the
but
dragon.
I
like
the
brightness the dragon just has
of
such
the
a
eyes
presence.
Of the snake.
They should get some sort of, there should be some sort of other anim. Maybe
yeah.
they just need another animatronic type
maybe.
Thing. Maybe. Because that dragon, Murphy, man, that is just unreal to watch.
Well, and the upgrades they did to him in the new show was awesome too, because when Mickey now attacks him, or, you know, uses his magic to defeat him at the end.
I'm pretty sure it's a her.
Mickey?
No, the dragon.
Oh, sorry. when Mickey uses magic to defeat her at the end, I feel, you know, before it was like he had a sword, like he was going to slay the dragon, and now he just kind of uses like magic, which I don't like that aspect.
Pop fireworks.
But the part that I do love is Murphy like tilts her head back and has this like last death throw of fire that comes out, and like you can hear it like raw, and like it's just cool because before it was just like zap 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 zap, and then it was over, and you were like, they spent probably millions of dollars on this thing.
The thing that's amazing to me about Fantasmic in general is you're right. The biggest thing of that whole show is Murphy the dragon, and it's only she's only there for like a minute. Like I'm surprised that they didn't really do more with that scene to have her out there more, just because that, I mean, that animatronic's just unreal. And the thing that's just so amazing to me is how it, I mean, it's from a cartoon, but how much it looks like it just came out of the screen. It's looks it's like a real life cartoon. It's so cool.
Well, it's amazing that seemingly, I mean, even though I know how the how it's done, it's amazing to me that Murphy just comes out of the ground. Like, where did she come from? Like, she's not inflated or anything. No. Like, she's a full beast that's down there. I mean, that's some crazy engineering. I'm waiting for one of the days when I go to the park and I see, or we're watching Fantasmic and she gets, like, stuck.
Halfway. There are the videos on YouTube.
Are there?
Yep.
I have to look it up.
The other thing, I'm just going to say this and we can move on.
Yeah.
The other thing that I was very disappointed with the Fantasmic changes is it felt to me a lot like the World of Color thing. I think it's cool that you can do the screen and project movies and videos on the screen, but I feel like if you want to see that, you go over and see that at World of Color. I don't like that they have so much screen water screen projection now in this.
Well, when it premiered, that was like the big cool technology. That was like the new thing that they brought to that show, is because it had never really been done before. And so yeah, I agree with you, though. It seems like they went to that. But again, it's a lot cheaper to have a projector projecting onto the thing other than doing fireworks, although they did seem to add fireworks back to the show.
Well, I don't think you really need to do too much for fireworks either, because if you want to see the fireworks show, then you just go over to the castle and watch the fireworks show.
I think there
are
parts of Fantasmic that definitely need to
I think the fireworks add something to it. But if you want, like, big awesome, I mean, I don't know. It can have a little bit of each, but it needs to be its own thing.
When Mickey's conducting the water as the sorcerer Mickey, I think that definitely is added to by having fireworks. Plus, at the very end of the show now, they have the same fireworks that they had before with Mickey on top of the building and everything. But now they have these fireworks that like kind of like fan out like they do in some of the actual fireworks show behind the castle. And I really like that kind of effect. I think that was pretty cool. Well, I guess that's probably enough for our discussion topic this week. We kind of jumped all over the place. If you guys have any ideas for discussion topics or things you'd like to hear us talk about in future episodes, please let us know. Again, you can email us at feedback@disneylandweekly.com. You can tweet at us at DL Weekly. You can leave us a message on Facebook by searching for Disneyland Weekly on Facebook. So there's all those different ways you can get in contact with us. We'd love to hear from you. So let us know what you think on any of these topics. Let us know if there's any topics you want us to talk about in the future. If you have any news reports or anything that you think we should talk about, again, you can also send that information our way. We'd love to hear all that type of stuff. Or just let us know how we're doing. Send us an email and let us know if you like the show, don't like the show, if you want us to make it shorter, longer, if you don't like our discussions, if you like our discussions, whatever. You want to be on the show, it is for you, so please do that. Is there anything before we wrap up that you would like to say, Teresa?
I'm sorry that my dog barks.
As you should be.
No, I'm good. That is all we have for you this week. We are entirely supported by the listeners and not advertisements. If you find value in the news, information, and discussion that we bring to you each week, please consider supporting us with just a dollar, about 25 cents per episode, by going to our website at disneylandweekly.com/support to find out how.
Like we said earlier, you can leave a review on iTunes for the podcast. That helps us out a lot to get discovered. You can also keep up with us, like we said a little bit earlier, too. Facebook by searching for Disneyland Weekly, on Twitter by searching at DL Weekly, or going to twitter.com/DL Weekly, or sending us an email, feedback@disneylandweekly.com.
We will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.
Yay, we made it through the episode. Huzzah!